open our Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, Injil Metta, very first book, New Testament. And towards the end of the book, chapter 25. And we want to read from verse 14 to verse 29. I'll see to verse 30. From verse 14 to verse 30 of Matthew 25. Matta 25 ومن عدد 14 إلى عدد 30. Let's go ahead and read one verse each, if you don't mind. We'll start with Sister Renee and Matthew 25:14.
For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods.
And likewise, he who had received two came two more also.
But he who had received one went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money.
After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes and reckons with them.
And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more.
All right, we are at Matthew 25 and verse 21.
ثم جاء الذي أخذ الوزنتين وقال يا سيد وزنتين سلمت لي هو ذا وزنتان أخريان ربكهما فوقهما.
His Lord said to him, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.
Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not sowed.
And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast what is thine. 26.
His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sow not, and gather where I have not sowed.
All right, we are in verse 27. No. We're at chapter 25 and verse 27. And verse 30.
And cast to the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
All right. Thank you very much. The kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling into a far country who called his servants, delivered to them his goods. He gave to one 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, and to another 1. Clearly, the master, the one who went to a far country, the one who has servants, the one who has delivered unto them talents, clearly this person represents the Lord Jesus Christ. If you look at chapter 25, both before this passage and after this passage, the subject is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. For instance, Matthew 25 and verse 6, at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom comes." And even clearer than that, in verse 31, "When the Son of Man shall come in his glory." Going back to chapter 24 and verse 3, "As he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the age?" It is appropriate for the Lord Jesus to be the master because he is the one who is exalted. He is the one who has authority. He is the one who commands. من المناسب انه يلعب الرب يسوع المسيح دور السيد. هو صاحب السلطة. هو صاحب الأمر. الأمر. He is the one who has servants, his children, the believers, those who have placed their faith and trust in him, those who have come unto him in repentance and faith. كل من آمن به, كل من وضع إيمانه وثقته فيه, كل من أتى إليه بتوبة وبإيمان, هدول أولاده وأيضا خدامه. He delivered unto them his goods. He is one who gives. He is one who gives. Sometimes people think of God as taking. As taking. He has given unto us all things. هو أعطانا كل شيء على الصعيد الجسدي والمادي, in terms of physical and material things, but also in terms of spiritual things he delivers unto us. Now he gave unto them 5 talents. 5 talents to one, and 2 talents to another, and to another one, 1 talent. Now we understand these talents as representing things that can be used to serve him. أشياء تستخدم في خدمته. Things by which he can be served. And different things to different people. And so in terms of the talents in Matthew 25, we should not understand the talents as representing, shall we say, attending church. So that someone can say, well, I have the talent to attend church, but somebody else says, well, I don't have the talent to attend church. The Bible tells us that all who are saved and all who are God's children should not forsake the assembling of themselves together. Attending church is not a talent. Reading the Bible is not a talent. Because every believer is commanded to study, to show themselves approved unto God. A workman who will not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Resisting temptation is not a talent. Being a witness to the Lord Jesus Christ. Spreading the message of the gospel and winning souls for him, this is not a talent. All God's children are commanded to be very active to the utmost in the things that I just mentioned. So when we are speaking of what these talents represent, different things given to different people, and yet they can be used in God's service. Let me give you some examples. Here's a list, and I'm just mentioning things, not trying to be exhaustive. ما عم جرب بهالليست أنه أذكر كل شغلة بس أشياء هيك تطر على البال. There are some people who are good with numbers.
Yes.
All right? And therefore, what can they do? Well, in a church, usually, one of the things that is needed is keeping of accounts to a certain extent. And therefore, the people who are good with numbers can help with keeping accounts. There are some people who are very good at organizing things. And there are various things in a ministry which need to be organized. There are some people who have an inclination towards what? Towards, let's say, art. Wonderful bulletin board in the back where people who have an inclination towards that kind of thing can use that gift, that talent, that ability. They could also use that gift and that talent and ability in something that is important, especially with the younger ones, which is handwork. Handwork in Sunday school classes and in a junior church. There are people who have talent in music. And when you say a talent in music, let's just stop there and say, even then you could have people who are talented in music in playing, people who are talented in music in singing, people who are talented in music, God bless them as well, in writing. There are people who work well. One of the things that a place like this needs is it needs to be cleaned. And there are people who have a talent and ability in that direction. There are people who have a talent and ability in terms of things related to computers. And in this day and age, more important than before, website, Facebook page, and things like that, of which I myself am so ignorant that God, I feel that I don't have a talent or an ability at all in that direction. But there are people who are good at writing. And there are various ways that they can use their ability at writing as part of the ministry. There are people who are particularly good at contacting people and encouraging them and following up with them. All these things are special talents and abilities. All right? Again, I say, I don't see any basis, any grounds, any good reason to think that talents are attending church, reading the Bible, praying, resisting temptation, being a faithful witness. These are not talents and abilities, right? These are for everyone. And for everyone, in a way that, shall we say, is equal, I think, yes, we can say that. But the other things that I mentioned are different abilities which people can use. Now, the Bible says that every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. كل عطية صالحة وكل موهبة تامة هي من فوق. The Bible tells us that everyone has his special talent from the Lord, one in this way and one in another way. كل واحد عنده موهبة خاصة من الله. واحد هكذا والآخر هكذا. Everything comes from above. We have nothing of which to glory. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7. These things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself. This is 1 Corinthians 4, 6. And to Apollos for your sakes, that he might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up for one against another. For who makes thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? And now if you did receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? As if you had not received it. What is it that I have that does not come from God? The answer is, what I have that does not come from God is my sins. الشيء اللي عندي يلي رب ما أعطاني هو خطاياي. هيدا الشيء اللي عندي اياه من نفسي. من نفسي. You have given unto me 5 talents. The servant who received 5 said in verse 20. And the one who received 2 talents said in verse 22, you delivered unto me 2 talents. In a similar parable in Luke, it says your talent has gained so many talents. Even the unprofitable servant acknowledged that the talent came from the Lord. Lo, here you have what is thine. Here you have what is thine. And so we see that there are talents and there are abilities that are given by the Lord. And let's think of the fact that one is given 5 and one is given 2. These are the ones who were faithful. These are the ones who were true. They're the one who was given 1 turned out to be unfaithful, unprofitable, not a good servant, in fact, a wicked servant. But let's not focus on him as much as the others, and think of the fact that God gives to some 5 and to some 2. Now, we could look at someone and say, oh, his ministry is not producing much. Oh, there's not much that is that we can see, which we can call fruit. Maybe this person is working very, very hard, and maybe he has 2 talents, not 5. And maybe he is being very faithful with those 2 talents. Maybe he is being much more faithful with his 2 talents than somebody else who has been given greater opportunity and is serving in an easier place. We need to remember the widow with her 2 mites and remember that she gave more than all of them, and that's what the Lord Jesus said. Now, why do some people have 5 and some people have 2? It says, every man according to his ability. That's the only thing that is mentioned. It's there in verse 15. Let's think of some things. I'll come to that. But let's think of some other things that might be considered an answer to that question. Why some people 5 and why some people 2? First of all, we would say that God is sovereign, that God is an authority, and that God does as he wills. As he wills. The potter, it says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 21, the potter has power over the clay. The potter has power over the clay. Should the fish say, why am I not a bird? And the bird says, why am I not a lion? And the lion says, why am I not an elephant? And the elephant says, why am I not a whale? God has the right to make his creatures as he pleases. Matthew 20 and verses 14 and 15, the householder says, take what is thine and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? I am good. Now, some people might say, but this matter of some receiving 5 and some receiving 2 in terms of their talents and abilities, it seems somehow unfair. It seems that it's not right. Suppose you are someone who gives and gives generously to those who are in need. And you give here and you give there. And then someone comes and tells you, but you need to give me. I have a right to be given. Now, even if you're kind and you're generous, most of the time, I believe you wouldn't respond very positively to someone coming and telling you, I have a claim. I have a right. You give what is yours in a way that is according to what you desire. And when someone comes and tries to say that he has a right, that he has a claim upon you, that you are under obligation to him in such matters, you probably would not feel, you would not feel that a person saying that, you would not feel that he is saying what's right. And the Lord gives as he desires. The Lord gives as he desires. Why does he give five and why does he give two? Again, I'm answering in a somewhat speculative way. I'm بتكهن إلى درجة ما. But we can look around us in this world and see that there are all sorts of different varieties. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible tells us that one star differs from another in glory. نجم يختلف عن نجم في المجد. If you look at the world of plants, you have tiny, tiny things, and then you have the cedar, and even bigger than that, the redwood. If you look at the world of animals, again, tiny, tiny things, all the way up to the elephant on the land and the whale in the sea. If you look at the spiritual world, if you look at the angels, the Bible mentions cherubim, seraphim, who seem to be different from others. Gabriel and Michael play leadership roles which others do not play. Look at the world of human beings. No two faces are alike. Fingerprints are different. DNA is different. Peter and John, who, as we look at the Bible in several situations, we see them doing things together, we see them being, in effect, I think you can say, being good friends. Butrus and Johanna. That doesn't mean that they were duplicates. Doesn't mean that they were exactly the same. Different Bible writers who we don't know that much about through the narrative of the Bible, we sometimes look at how they wrote. Now, it doesn't always appear in the translation to see their style a bit more clearly. It helps to know the Greek, all right? And as you look at what was written, you see this person writes differently from that person. Jonathan spoke to his armor bearer and then told him, let us go into the camp of the enemy. If the Lord is with us, then he will help us, because the Lord can save by many and few, by many or by few. So Jonathan and his armor bearer went into the camp of the enemy. Praise the Lord for that faith. Does that mean that we know about the armor bearer as much as we know about Jonathan? Does that mean that they were exactly the same, that there was no difference between them? There was a difference. There was a difference. Perhaps the Lord has given two talents to some people because in some environments, in some situations, the two talents are a good number to have. A good number to have. Suppose that you wanted to bring an elephant into this particular place. You might not be able to get him through that door. And so, he wouldn't be able to be here. All right? He wouldn't be able to be here. There are different kinds of places, different kinds of ministries, different kinds of surroundings, and different talents appropriate to those surroundings, those situations. When I went to visit my sister in Mexico, one of the things that I did, she took me to an art museum, Matḥaf Fan. And I discovered this Mexican painter who I had never heard of before. I liked him very much. His name was José María Velasco. Not many people have heard of him. not exactly, not a household name. I'm not talking about Rembrandt, Da Vinci, or someone like that. Anyway, José María de Velasco, one of the things that characterized him, not the only thing, but one of the things that characterized him, is that he painted paintings that were very big. Yes. I mean, you see this map?
Yes.
Think of a painting at least three times the size of this map. All right? A painting three times the size of this. All right? Maybe, you know, like as big as the whole wall. You know, the painting, that's the area, and those two, you know, painting almost that big. The painting's so big that when you come and stand close to them, your field of vision is filled by the painting. All right? Now, of course, if you stand far away, you see the painting and the frame and the wall and so on. But when you come close enough, and it doesn't have to be like this, all right? When you come close enough, all right, it's almost like you're in that world because the painting fills your field of vision. All right. But the truth is that there are many people who live in houses where a painting that size would never fit. Would never fit. You couldn't get it through the door. You couldn't get it through the door. So a painting that size belongs in a certain kind of place. And in my house, I'm going to have a painting of a slightly different size, of a smaller size. Actually, when you go to Mexico, you find out that they're not just painters who painted big paintings, but they also have a tradition there, maybe more than other places, of something called murals. What is a mural? A mural is hey, a mural is like a painting on the side of a building, you know, which could be a painting, or sometimes it's done with these little tiles and stuff like that, and stuff like that. So again, if you are a muralist, all right, then you're not going to exercise your talent and ability in a person's house, or at least it doesn't work that way in a usual in the usual course of events. Some five, some two, all right, because it's appropriate in certain ways to the place where a person serves in the manner in which he serves. And remember that he gives also, in various ways and at various times, few talents to show his power and his ability. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Gideon, you have too many people. All right, 32,000 are too many. All right, so tell the ones who are afraid to go home. 22,000 went home. 10,000, still too many. You're going to think that God, that you, by your numbers, you gained the victory. Take them down to the brook and tell them to drink. The ones who set their sword and spear and weapons aside and go down flat on their face and drink out of the brook in one way, those send them home. The ones who hold their spear or sword, hold their weapons and drink that way. And then there were how many? 300? 300 who were like, oh, this is a good number. This is a good number. Now you'll know. Now you'll know. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul the Apostle says, I didn't come to you with great ability in speaking. 1 Corinthians 2, from 1 through 5. I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and preaching were not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. If you think of men are sometimes impressed by what? by something which is very grand, by something which is huge, by something which is sizable. But men are also impressed sometimes by a very special work, which is also very, very small. Very small. And God can work through the five, and God can work through the two. Every man according to his ability. The Lord having a wisdom regarding how many talents he could give to this and how many talents he could give to that. Now, whether it's two or whether it's five, they must give an account. They must give an account. They are responsible. There is going to be a reckoning. There is going to be an accounting. Whether people are criminals, all right, if you think of it in terms of judgment, now we're not thinking of God's children and talents and abilities, all right, people sometimes wonder who killed more people, Hitler or Stalin. I was just checking on that, and I think I found a website that said, hey, Hitler killed more. But listen, whether someone kills a million people or 10 million people or 100 million people, or whether a person kills one person, isn't God going to call them to account? All right? And here we are talking of God's children. But there is the same idea that they're going to give an account, whether it's two or whether it is five or whether it is one. There is going to be an accounting. There's going to be a responsibility, a reckoning. Look at 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. This is David speaking to the people towards the end of his reign, towards the end of his life. 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 5. He stands before the people. He speaks of Solomon, his son, the fact that the temple is going to be built. He says that there's gold for the things of gold. The materials have been prepared. David played a leading role in that. Gold for things of gold and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the craftsmen. Who then is willing to consecrate his service this day, his service this day unto the Lord, unto the Lord? We can say, oh, it's the business of the pastor. Oh, it's the business of the Sunday school teacher. Oh, it is the business of the missionary to do this or that. We need to do what we are commanded to do. And one of the things that we are commanded to do is to use such gifts and talents and abilities that God has given us to use them to serve Him and glorify Him. And we're responsible for that, not in a corporate way. We're responsible for that, each and every one. After a long time, the Lord of those servants comes, and he reckons with them. Now, when you say he reckons with them, you might have thought that the three of them would come together and say, you gave us 5, 2, 1, which is a total of 8. Now we have what? We're giving back to you 8 plus an additional 7. So you gave us 8 and we're giving you back 15. It didn't work that way. You to whom 5 was given. You to whom 2 was given. You to whom 1 was given. That's the way it worked. And this account will be an account which is specific. Now here we're looking at a few ideas that are not necessarily from our text, but look at Matthew chapter 12 and verse 36. I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of it in the day of judgment. in the day of judgment. What I say, what I do. What I say, what I do. Every idle word. Now we can say, oh, how difficult that is. Yes, how difficult it is. But also, how blessed it is. Because the Bible says a cup of cold water given in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ will not be forgotten. A cup of water given in his name. Let's look at the picture, the broad picture. Let's look at it, as they say in Arabic, bijimli. Let's look at it wholesale. Let's look at it in very broad terms. But the Lord says, who has despised the day of small things? من احتقر يوم الأمور الصغيرة. What are we responsible for? Our years? Yes. But also our months, our weeks, our days, our hours, our minutes, our seconds, our moments. We are responsible for an account which will be just. Because he is the great judge. An account which will be impartial. حساب عادل. حساب عادل. Now, if you were in Lebanon, what would happen would be that one of these guys, either Mr. 5 or Mr. 2 or Mr. 1, would have some kind of wasta. Would have some kind of wasta. And so, you know, Mr. 5 comes and says, what? 5, and I won 5. Oh, well done, you good and faithful servant. Mr. 2 said, you gave me 2, and here are 2 more. If it were Lebanon, he would and that guy had a wasta, he would have received more. But what did the Lord say? He said the same thing to each and every one of them. The verse is repeated, the statement is repeated, verse 21 and verse 23, if I'm not mistaken, are word for word the same. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. All right? Well done. Thou good and faithful servant. And so, people are given some 5 and some 2 for various reasons. And like I said, some of the things that were mentioned, speculation you might say, but seems to be in keeping with what we have in God's word. Whether 5 or whether 2, they are responsible. They need to give an account. And the last thing is whether 5 or 2, and in some ways I've already mentioned this, but I think we should emphasize it, whether 5 or 2, it is faithfulness which counts. It is faithfulness which counts. Sometimes we think of great names in the history of the faith. We think of people whose names are mentioned in the Bible. We think of others from other times, since Bible times, whom the Lord has used in a very special way. And we think to ourselves, these people will be in the front row in heaven. But how do we know who will be in the front row in heaven? Do we know it as much as we think we do? Would we have said that the widow gave more than all the others? Would we have said that the greatest born of women was John the Baptist? Maybe there's some believer who most of their life was very sick and was confined to their house and most of the time to their bed. But they bore their difficulty and their trial and hardship with a wonderful spirit, with a spirit of joy. And they were a witness and a testimony to people who came and saw them. And they couldn't step out of their house, but they prayed and prayed and prayed for others. And maybe they will stand before the great names that we often think of. the one who had two could come with the same confidence than the one who had five. It was the two, the five didn't matter. It was the faithfulness. Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And he that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou delivered unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. The same spirit, the same words, the same confidence that this will be pleasing unto the master. Sometimes we measure things in ways that are a little bit worldly. Numbers, all right? And we say to ourselves, surely someone like Paul the Apostle, surely someone like Paul the Apostle is more important than someone like, let's say, Jeremiah. Someone who served and served, but there wasn't that much in the way of response. The Bible tells us that we are all unprofitable servants. We are all unprofitable servants. And nothing that a person does is acceptable before God in and of himself, were it not for the merits of Christ and the righteousness of Christ. Were it not for His Spirit working in us and through us, were it not for the mercy of God towards us, hiding our sins and our shortcomings and defects, were it not for His mercy, we would have nothing to speak of in any way. There are many people who have served and served faithfully whose names we do not know. We do not know. Recently in the U.S., Monday was Memorial Day, right? And one of the things that happens in countries that are better than this country is that they remember people who in various ways have served, and they try to remember them, and they try to remember them all. And that's why in many, many countries you have what? You have one place or the other, even in this country, you have what? You have the tomb of the unknown soldier. You have the tomb of the unknown soldier. You walk into, if I'm not mistaken, Westminster Abbey in London. Now, Westminster Abbey is a place where many, many are buried, and there are many who are not buried there but are honored there. A plaque or a statue or something like that. If I remember correctly, you walk into Westminster Abbey, and the first thing that you run into is a black plaque on the ground, all right, to the unknown soldier. All right? In particular, if I remember correctly, the remains of a soldier, unidentified soldier, the remains of a soldier from World War I, brought to that place. So before you see the prime ministers and the kings and whatever, all right, before you see that, you see what? To the unknown soldier. All right? And so we must understand that if we are faithful, the two, the five, where, when, how, early, late, whether you serve the Lord now or whether you serve the Lord 1,000 years ago or whether you serve the Lord 1,000 years from now if he tarries in his coming. All right? Whether red, yellow, black, white, north, south, east, west, as people are faithful. It is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And we are stewards of these talents. They do not belong to us. What more shall I say? The writer of Hebrews says, time fails me, so I'm not going to speak any more specifically, but there are people who endured persecution and who subdued kingdoms and who passed through the fire and who died faithfully. And all of these have shown faith. All of these have been faithful, and all of these can likewise hear from the Master these words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." Some time ago, a long, long time ago, there was a pastor, a speaker, who came to this church, a visiting speaker. And he preached a message. I don't know whether I was even born then, but my father told me about that message. He didn't tell me about it in much detail. He told me the title of it. Somehow he would repeat it, and I think he used to mention it from time to time as he spoke. Privileges which earth offers, which heaven cannot give. And one thing that we can do in the here and now, which we cannot do in the same way, let's just say we cannot do in the same way, is to use the talents and abilities which God has given to us to occupy until he comes. Whether you've got five, whether you've got two, whether you've got one, to be faithful. To be faithful and to give God the glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the Master. The one who is Lord, the one to whom all belongs, and of whom come these talents. We thank you, Lord, because he is coming again. We thank you, Lord, because he has promised to receive us unto himself, that where he is, there we may be also. We pray, Lord, that you would help us to look for his coming, to love his appearing. We pray that you would help us to so live that when he comes, we would be found faithful. Whether five or two or one, you have given, and we must render an account. We pray that that account would show us faithful, obedient, diligent unto you, furthering the cause of your kingdom, bringing honor to your name. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.